Sure, I'm thankful for the sweet prayer. And thank the Lord for blessing Brother Junior with words that I believe honor and glorify the Lord and express the feelings of at least my heart and trust yours. As he said, I surely need the blessings of the Lord to be able to preach. And so you pray for me. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to read to you from the book of Philippians chapter 3 this afternoon. Passage of scripture has been on my mind, continues to be, and we'll read the entirety of the chapter in your hearing. Philippians chapter 3, beginning right at verse 1. He says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my beloved, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." That's reading all of the third chapter and the first verse of the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, the writings of the Apostle Paul. Here, Paul writes, by inspiration of God, he says, "Finally, my brethren," so we see he's talking to the children of God. That's really the full Bible, all of God's word is written to the child of God, the man of God. And they are the brothers, and by brethren here, he means the brothers and sisters in Christ. If we're able to preach to anyone, it'll be to the brethren that we preach to. It'll be to God's children that we're able to preach to. The world by nature does not have an ear to hear it, an eye to see it, or a heart to understand it. And in order to be able to be effective, the word can only be heard and only be shared with God's children. The righteousness of God in the gospel is shared from faith to faith. That means that the faith that the Lord has given me is used and exercised in believing the truth of God's word, and we preach those things by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the faith that God has given you allows you to be able to hear the word and receive the word. You have a receiver. In order to have the gospel transmitted, it's got to have a signal that's sent out. That has to come from the Lord. And that comes in the gospel minister is given that ability. And then there has to be a receiver to pick up that signal. Otherwise, it's false. It falls without profit out into the world. And we also know, though, the word of God, as it goes forth, it always will have a benefit for someone. Doesn't mean everybody, but it'll benefit someone. So that's a great consolation, that as we share the word of God, we know that it will serve the purpose for which God intended. And he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. There's a rejoicing today that you and I can have and should have, no matter what our circumstances are. But sometimes it's easy for us to rejoice in the Lord because everything seems to be going so wonderful and we just have every reason to be thankful. But really, that's true every day, no matter what our circumstances are. Even on what we might consider the very worst day of our life, it's still the day the Lord has made, and our confession should be, we will rejoice and be glad in it, because God has just daily loaded us with benefits and blessings. And he's reminding the brethren right here, he says, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, that didn't mean rejoice in ourselves, not to rejoice in one another. I am thankful that you're here. As I gathered here with those that are here today, I'm thankful for the ones that came up the road with me. I'm thankful for those who made the effort to come out. And some of you I know made a lot of effort to be here today, and I'm very, very thankful to see you. But if we gathered here and our rejoicing was just in one another, it would just be timely and temporal and wouldn't have very much meaning. And we're not here just to talk about one another or just to be with one another, but we're here to have fellowship with our darling Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're enabled to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit, which he's put in our hearts, and is the Holy Comforter, which allows us to be able to be guided into the right way, and guides me to preach and to teach, and guides you to hear and believe. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure thankful for that wonderful operation. And because of all that Jesus has done for us, because of his salvation, because of his death and his burial and his resurrection, because of what he's given us as little children of God, you and I have every reason today to be rejoicing. As a matter of fact, he didn't say this in a way of, if you want to or if you don't want to, it's a commandment. You and I are commanded every day to rejoice in the Lord. That's something you and I ought to be striving to do every single day of our life. And the ministry is to remind you to do that. You rejoice in the Lord. He says, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. That means it's necessary. It's not only safe in that it's okay to do, it's needed that we remind God's children over and over again of the things that the Lord has called us unto, what the Lord has done for us, what the Lord would have us to be doing, and we're to share that with one another, not only from the pulpit, I believe that's important, but you are also to take those things you hear on Sunday and carry them with you throughout the week, and you're to share them with others of God's children. You'll find in your efforts to do that, there'll be some that'll be glad to hear it. There's some who will rejoice in it. There'll be others who are not so glad to hear it and won't be so happy about it, but the Lord didn't tell us to do anything other than share it. He didn't say we had to. So our duty and our responsibility is to share it, and to share it in love, and to share it in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord. That's part of letting your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. He comes down in verse 2 and he tells us to beware of dogs and beware of evil workers and beware of the concision. The word concision, this word is found only one time that I can find it in the Bible, and it means a cutting away. I believe what it really has reference to is that of circumcision that was coming in and creeping into the early church. They had been brought out of their Judaism and brought out, and there were Judaizers, though they were still among them, that was trying to bring them back into the old law service. They had been delivered in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The law service, when it was given as a blessing, and in the Old Testament time, for the time that it was given, it served its purpose, and it was a great blessing and a wonderful thing that God had given. But after Jesus came, all of the keeping of the law that pointed to the coming of Christ had been fulfilled in the coming of Jesus, and there was no need to go back under the Old Testament law service and to worship God under that pattern and in that way. And there were some who had risen up in the church, though they had been delivered from that, and the apostles had taught the deliverance of that. There were some who were coming back saying, these things are necessary. In other words, in order to be with the Lord in heaven, you need to keep the law. And in order to be with the Lord in heaven, you need to be circumcised physically. And there were those who were preaching and teaching salvation in some other way than other than salvation by the grace of God. Though we don't find too many people that creep in among us that would say we need to go back under the old law service, we do find from time to time those coming in that would say you need to add this to it or that to it. In other words, salvation wasn't completely done by the Lord Jesus Christ. He just came and made it possible. He did His part. And then they might say something like, now it's up to you. And probably if you've talked to anyone very much in this world, they'll usually say, oh yeah, I know I believe in salvation by grace, but I also believe there's something you got to do in order to get that. And there were those in that day and time that rose up even among the brethren. And that too could also happen even in our day and time. So we're to be bewaring of that. The Lord has warned us of that. That if we go by the flesh, we're going to go the wrong way. And if we follow the word of God and hold fast to it, He says for them to earnestly contend to that. And those things that have been taught, we've surely believed, we're to earnestly contend for that faith once delivered unto the saints. We don't need anything added to it, nor do we want anything taken from it. We want to have what God has given us in His word and in the practice of the church, in the doctrine of the church, in the experiential aspects of the church. We want to have what's given to us in God's word. We don't want to be adding to it or taking from it. And there would be those who would be dogs. Not that they're less than us or anything like that. By the way, if we all got down to what we are by nature, we're all just dogs. And even less than that. I remember in the Old Testament where it says, thou worm, O Jacob. And Jacob was but a worm. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There's none good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we were left to ourselves, even our very best, our righteousnesses are but as filthy rags. And so we shouldn't be upset when we think of ourselves as dogs in the sense of what we are by nature, because remember Brother Mephibosheth in the Old Testament. He said, I'm a dead dog. When he was brought into David brought him in and set him at the bounty. And he said, is there anyone in the kingdom of Saul that I may bless for Jonathan's sake? And they said, yes, there was a young man, but his name was Mephibosheth, but he was lame in both feet. And of course, because of Saul's trying to kill David and all that he had done wrong to David, no doubt Mephibosheth thought, boy, I'll tell you what, I don't think I want to mess with David, because as a descendant of Saul, he's going to probably just wipe me out. But David had something wonderful in mind for Mephibosheth. Because he had a love for Jonathan, he wanted Mephibosheth to be taken care of, and that young boy that was lame in both feet was brought to the king's table. And there he was given all that he needed for the rest of his life. Does that sound like somebody you know maybe? That though you weren't deserving of anything, the Lord called you out of nature's darkness and He's brought you to the king's table. And now he's given unto you everything that you stand in need of. And Mephibosheth, he surely didn't feel deserving of it. He said, I'm a dead dog. He didn't say he was a dog. He said, I'm a dead dog. Because he knew he wasn't deserving any of these things. Listen, I believe that's the very heart of a little child of God that has a home here among God's people in the church of the living God. Those who feel not deserving of it, but feel to be dogs. Now, there's a sense which we're not to be that way. We're certainly not to be biting one another, and we're not to devour one another. We're not to be bickering with one another. We're to walk in the love of God and the peace of God, and we don't want to do that. And when we have ministers who stand before us, and rather than comforting God's children with a message of grace, would disturb them by adding something to the Word of God, they bite and they devour God's little children. Sometimes they're there to get their, because they're greedy. The Old Testament calls them greedy dogs, I believe, over in the book of Isaiah. In another place it calls them dumb dogs. And he's talking about those that would mistreat God's little lambs and sheep. And, you know, a man may think he's treating them right, but if he's feeding them false doctrine, he's not treating them right. He might have the best intent about it, but if he's feeding them something other than salvation by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not benefiting God's children, and he falls into this category. And there are some who don't have any desire at all to feed God's children. They're just deceivers. And they come before God's children to, rather than feed the flock, they want to fleece the flock. They want to take what they've got. Most of the time, money is the cause of that. It's the source of that. And they're out to fill their pockets. And they preach things to fill their pockets. And they teach things to fill their pockets. And they'll have to answer to the Lord for that. And really, you and I are not the judge of who of those are deceivers and who are those that are just been deceived. We just know this, that God's little children need to be protected and taken care of, and they need also to be beware, because the Lord has told us that these things would come and there would be those that enter in, and we are to be mindful of that. And he went on and he says to beware of them, and then he pointed out who they were, and I believe that's who we are today. He says, for we are the circumcision. The circumcision that's important is not the circumcision of the flesh, where a part of the flesh is cut away as a covenant and a token that was done under the old law service, and it had a purpose in its day and time, but that had come to an end. And there were those who were still saying that fleshly circumcision needs to be taken away. And remember, the Apostle Paul even was circumcised, and he points that out. And in one case, he had some others circumcised that they would not be offensive. But he also said that circumcision profited nothing. In other words, it's okay if you are, and it's okay if you're not. That circumcision of the flesh is not what's important. But there is a circumcision that's absolutely important. There's a circumcision that has to happen that's important. And that circumcision isn't of the flesh, but it's of the heart. It's a heart change. It's a cutting away that takes place in the heart, where the Lord removes that hard and stony heart and gives you a heart of flesh. Where the Lord changes you. Where the Lord makes you a new creature. And we, as God's children, meet not to try to outwardly serve God by the acts of our hands, but to inwardly, spiritually serve God. As we meet together, we offer up spiritual sacrifices and spiritual praise unto God. And in order to do that, you've got to be circumcised first by the Lord. He's got to touch you. And your heart has to be circumcised and made right. Otherwise, there's nothing you can, you know, the heart, some men say, well, if you'll just give your heart to the Lord, if the Lord hadn't circumcised your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Jeremiah says, who can know it? What would the Lord have with that old heart if the Lord hadn't? Somebody says, the Lord calls preachers to tell everybody to give their heart to the Lord. Listen, until the Lord touches the heart, until the Lord tenders the heart, until the Lord works in an individual, he doesn't have the will or the desire. And if he came to the Lord, he'd be rejected, because no man can come to him except through the Lord Jesus Christ. The view is very clearly from the Scripture, no man's coming because they don't desire to come and they don't want to come. You're here today because somewhere along the way the Lord circumcised your heart. He caused you to see what you couldn't see. He caused you to be able to know what you couldn't know. He caused you to have a love for things that at one time you hated, and a hatred for things that at one time you just loved, and a desire to walk free of the flesh much as you can and walk in the Spirit as much as you can. Now, if that's where you are today and that's your desire, that's an evidence. That isn't what caused it, but that's an evidence that you've been circumcised in your heart. And that circumcision is not made by the hands of men. The preacher can't do it. The deacons can't do it. Mama can't do it. Daddy can't do it. But the Lord does it. The Spirit of God moves, and a man is quickened and made alive. And that's a work of grace where a man's born again and they're circumcised. And he says, "For we are the circumcision." That means born again children of God. Listen, you could take a person and put them in whatever river. You could baptize them in the Robson River. You could baptize them in the Shenandoah River. You could take them over into Israel and baptize them in the Jordan River. If the Lord hadn't circumcised them in heart, you'll never make a child of God out of them through dipping them in water. You'll just make them wet. If somebody said, "Well, you dip a goat, you just get a wet goat. You don't get any. It doesn't make a sheep out of a goat." And what God's little children are those who are circumcised in heart, and they're the ones who can come and worship God. They're the only ones. And God has His people out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people. And in some point in their life, between conception and death, they will be born of the Spirit. They will be circumcised in the heart, where they're given a new heart. And thanks be to God for that. We can be settled about that. I believe y'all believe that here today. I hope and pray that we do. And I'm telling you that. You say, "Well, Brother Gary, you said that before." Well, Paul said to write the same things unto you is not grievous. That means it doesn't trouble me to do it. Hadn't troubled me to say it. And for you, it's necessary. Need to say it over and over again, don't I? Want to say it. I'm saying it now. Said it on the way up here. Said it at Happy Creek. Said it while we sat there at Subway and ate. Said it once we got back in the van. Got here at church and preached it, sang about it, said it again. I dare say we're going to say it when we start on the way home. And probably as we go home and sit down tonight, we'll read more about it, say it again, say it over and over. Thanks be to God. And we'll say it again and again until finally we're carried out of this old world. And when we get over there, we'll really be able to say it. Listen, we won't have to be worrying about these old tired, weary bodies or weak voices or you know, did I eat too much or any of that. We'll be, or all the natural things that get in the way. Won't it be wonderful when we are able to really, this is, right now it seems to be the thing that's most important, but when we get over there, it ain't going to be anything else. It's not going to be any distractions. We're not going to have anything in the way. We're going to be able to see Him face to face. For today, what a glorious day that will be. He says, "We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit." Today we've come to worship God. And if you worship God, you don't worship Him today by bringing in a sheep or a goat or a turtle dove or a heifer or anything and offering a natural blood sacrifice as they did under the old law service. We don't have to go to the temple in Jerusalem. We don't have to go to the tabernacle. We don't have to come in and offer up these sacrifices as they did under the old law service. We have been blessed to come into the gospel church, the gospel kingdom, and set together in heavenly places in Christ. And when you sing, you're offering up spiritual sacrifices unto God. When you pray, you're offering up sweet incense unto the Lord. It's a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. And when the preaching of the gospel goes forth, it's like the tingling of the bells you hear on the priest's garment. It's the declaration that the sacrifice has been made, that the sacrifice has been received, that the priest is alive and well, and that the Lord is pleased, and that we have access unto the Father. It's the work of Almighty God, and we come today to worship God, and we only can do that in the Spirit. Now, if you can only do it in the Spirit, what does that mean? That means you got to be born of the Spirit in order to be able to do it. That means we need the Spirit in order to be able to do it. That means I need the Holy Spirit, the Holy Comforter, in order to be able to do it. Jesus, when He was about to go away, He said, "I go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. But I'm going to send the Holy Comforter." And the Holy Comforter was the Spirit of Almighty God. And the Holy Spirit And the Holy Spirit came in a powerful way. He was already active in the Old Testament, in the days of the apostles. He was the one who quickened them. He's the one who born again. All the Old Testament saints, the work of the Holy Spirit was evident already. But it came into a fullness and in a manifestation that had never come after the days of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit moved upon them, and their young men and their old men dreamed dreams, and they spake with new tongues, and there were gifts of healings and gifts of tongues and all of those things. And they were given for a temporary time in order to confirm the word of God that was being written and preached and given. And once it was confirmed, those signs naturally, physically ceased. But you and I have the Holy Spirit at every meeting. When you feel Him, you feel good, don't you? When you feel the presence of the Lord. You ever been in a meeting and the preacher was there and the congregation was there and everybody else was there, but something was missing? You just still didn't feel the same warmth. You didn't still feel the same power. You didn't feel what you felt before. And it wasn't that the Holy Spirit wasn't there, but He hid His presence from us for a period of time so that we don't always see Him every day all the time like we do sometimes. I sometimes think if I saw Him like I do sometimes all the time, I couldn't stand it. But I don't think I could, you know, I don't. Brother Paul Troutner used to say it this way. He said, some people have accused me of being so spiritually minded, I'm no earthly good. He said something similar to that anyway. I'm so spiritually minded, I'm no earthly good. And God's little children can sometimes seemingly get lifted up. Isn't it good though to get there when you're so spiritually minded, you don't really care whether you eat. You don't care too much whether you sleep. You don't care about your natural things. And eventually the old physical body will bring us back, you know, where we have to have some sleep. But oh, you know, I've sat up with brethren all night long and talked the Bible. I don't do that as much as I used to, but I remember doing that. We go to one of these meetings and you get two or three preachers together and nobody even hardly gets to sleep at all. And you just sit and talk about the Scripture, talk about the good news. Well, God's little children, when we get together and we worship God in the Spirit and we rejoice in Christ Jesus, that's what you do. That's why you like being here. Because I'm rejoicing. Rejoicing in what? Well, if we're rejoicing in us, we ain't going to be here long. We ain't going to have much to talk about. If I get up here and brag on what I've done, it won't take long to talk about what I've done, and it won't be anything to brag on unless I start telling lies. And then guess what? I become one of those dogs that you're supposed to beware of, and I've become an evil worker. I'm not here to talk about myself. I'm not here to talk about my family. I'm not here to talk about the president or politics or anything else. I am here to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done, and everything else, my family, my political views, everything else should line up in conformity with that, so that I don't have a conflict in my family life or in the rest of my life between serving the Lord Jesus Christ and where I put everything in my family and in my life and my beliefs politically, whatever that might be. We're to be of one mind and of one accord. But the most important thing is that we understand what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, and that we talk about that. And those other things, they'll take their place. As we get priorities in place, those secondary things will take their place. He says, we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And oh, if we get to share this with all of God's children, and especially us as old Baptists, he says, and have no confidence in the flesh. I don't want you to have any confidence in the flesh. Don't get trusting in Gary too much. I can tell you what you'll be is let down. And I love you. And I don't want to trust in you too much. I'll trust in the Lord who's able to bless you. I'll trust in the Lord giving you the strength that you need. I'll trust in you as the Lord blesses you. You can be a help to me, and you have been. Y'all don't know what a help it is to me just to have you here this afternoon. It's a great blessing. But I know this, if I start putting confidence in any of us or any one of us, with that confidence that only belongs in the Lord, Paul didn't say put a little confidence in it. He says, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And you know how it works with you when you and I start thinking we can handle something. How good does that go? How well does that work out? You know, the Lord is a good God. He doesn't let us do that and just get away with it. We do it sometimes, but He doesn't let us get away with it. He doesn't let me get away with it, and I doubt it. And I don't think He lets you get away with it. I believe you understand what I'm talking about. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. What the Apostle Paul, you know, some people will say you shouldn't have confidence in this because they don't have anything to hold themselves up. You know, the Apostle Paul didn't say you shouldn't have any confidence in the flesh because he didn't have all the things they were trusting in. See, they were trusting, I'm an Israelite. That makes me okay with God. I'm an Israelite. Paul said, if that makes you okay, I'm okay too, but I don't put any confidence in that. Paul, he says, though I might have also confidence in the flesh. He said, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. Paul said, if you want to get down to what the flesh has, I've got as much ability and much qualification as any of you. But I'm telling you, what I am is nothing before Almighty God. Paul said, if you're talking about a good man and a good life, in the eyes of the world, I've lived that. I've been a Jew of the Jews, a Pharisee. I've been one who tried to keep the law. I've been one who was zealous even to the persecuting of the church. I was one who had everything that y'all are saying that you need in order to qualify. And I'm saying to you, Paul says, I'm saying to you that if I was judged on that, I stand as nothing. I don't have anything if I don't have Jesus. Y'all understand that today? If I don't have Jesus, my home doesn't mean anything. If I don't have Jesus, my loving wife doesn't mean anything. If I don't have Jesus, my precious children don't mean anything. If I don't have Jesus, everything that I have in this world is just vain and empty. If I don't have Jesus, everything else. And somebody says, well, then you better get Jesus. Hear me, friends. You can't go get Jesus. You've already been gotten of Jesus, but He's the reason you're alive, and He's the reason that you're here. And all the other blessings has come to you through and by Him. And God forbid we'd ever say they come to me because I did this and I did that. Some men will stand up and say, I've got this big home because I built it. I worked hard for it. I made the money. I've got a good family because I raised them right. And I did this and I did that. Some would say, and that doesn't mean there isn't some things that are required of men and what they ought to do. But I'm telling you, if you've had sense enough to raise them right, that came from Jesus. If you were able to work, that ability to work came from Jesus. If you were able to gain money, the prospering that you have came from Jesus. Every good thing that you and I have in our life comes from the Lord. And if we miss Him and all of it, well, we missed it all. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And then Paul says, he rejoiced in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. He said, if any man's got something to brag on, I do. And he lays out a pedigree. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. If you want physical circumcision, I'm not telling you circumcision doesn't matter because I'm not circumcised, because I am circumcised. Not only am I circumcised, I'm not late coming to it. I was circumcised on the eighth day, just like the law said. Paul said, I meet that qualification. If you want to check boxes, I'll check them with you. But once you get them all checked and you say, okay, how did you do? You can check all my boxes, but what I'm telling you is none of those boxes are worth a thing without Jesus. That's what he said. And everything. Listen, my coming to church doesn't mean a thing if Jesus didn't die on the cross for me. My being baptized in water is just me getting wet if Jesus didn't die for me. My believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ will not save my soul if He didn't die for me and save my soul. My believing helps me and it's a benefit to me, but it doesn't make it real. He doing it made it real. And I'm trusting in His finished work, not in the boxes I check. Paul said, look, if you want to look at boxes, let's check some. He says, I'm circumcised the eighth day, and I'm of the stock of Israel. That means his mama was an Israelite, and his daddy was an Israelite, and his mama's daddy was an Israelite, and his daddy's daddy was an Israelite, and you could track his line all the way back into the tribe of Benjamin, which was a very honorable tribe and a very esteemed tribe. And Paul said, check that box off. If you want an Israelite, I'm an Israelite of the Israelites. He said, and he's going to get to the end and say, I count all of that but dung, that I might win what's really important, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that didn't mean Paul made himself a part of Christ. If Paul was a part of Christ, and he certainly was, he told us when that happened, We were chosen in Him when? You got it, before the very foundation of the world. And I'm telling you, that's where our trust is to be, in what He has done for us, not in what we have done for Him. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. His bloodline was complete. The Jews, Hebrews, of the Hebrews. He says, as touching the law. He said, you want to come to the law? I'm a Pharisee. Pharisees were very much sticklers of the law. They followed the law and kept the law. They even accused the disciples of not keeping the law. Accused Jesus. Can you imagine that? Of not keeping the law. How ignorant in their wisdom they were. They were so blind they could not see, but they thought they were so wise that they couldn't. They thought they saw everything, and they couldn't see what was the plainest thing by themselves. And that was the Son of God, whom every bit of the law that they proposed to serve pointed to, whom every verse of the Old Testament that they quoted and taught and learned and studied pointed to. They couldn't see anything because they were so full of pride and so full of wisdom that it was hidden from the wise and prudent, and it was revealed unto little babes. And I'll tell you what, the Lord still does that. And He says they were concerned. He says, check that box. He says, concerning zeal. You want to see zeal? Listen, I persecuted the church. Can you imagine how the Apostle Paul felt about that later on, after he had been a persecutor of the church? No doubt that was a great weight to bear, to think about the church that he loved. As he looked back in the past, he would think, how could I have ever persecuted this place? And yet he was guilty of that, and he wore that. And yet they thought that was a great thing. See, what they thought was great. Do you see that? What men think is great in their eyes, and what is great in the eyes of men, is not so in the eyes of God. What men think qualifies you, disqualifies you. And what will qualify you are the things that the world would say disqualifies you. What would allow you to be where you ought to be. Listen, the world doesn't understand a person who's all humble and meek and crying and timid. They want somebody boisterous and big and bold. And that's the reason they looked at Jesus naturally and said, He's not our Messiah, because they expected someone who came as a great warrior and not a son of a carpenter, not of that low house of Joseph and Mary, someone born in that low esteem, a little babe when he was born, didn't even have a house, just born in a stable and laid in a manger and wrapped in this not fine linen of a little baby, but swaddling clothes, and laid in a manger. That would be, and when he was born, somebody said, well, he was born and he grew up to be the Son of God. Oh no, he was born the Son of God. He was a Son of God as much when he was that little baby laying in that cradle. He was the consolation of Israel. Simeon saw him and saw him as the salvation of the Lord's people. And I'll tell you, you know why Simeon saw him that way? Because the Holy Spirit opened his eyes. And you know why you see him that way today? Because the Holy Spirit that moved in Simeon has moved in you. And I believe he's right with us today. I believe he's right with me right now. Thanks be to God. That's my trust, that's my hope, and my dependence. I don't want to trust in who I am, especially as a newt. You don't need to trust in it as a Sylvester. You don't need to trust in it as whatever your last name is. You and I are to trust in the Lord and the Lord alone. And concerning zeal, Paul said, touching the righteousness which is in the law, he said, I'm blameless. Now, did that mean that Paul was without sin? No, what it meant was Paul had tried to keep the letter of the law as much as he could, so he could argue that I'm not guilty of that. And you know, men are good at arguing of what they're not guilty of. And they try to present their case that I'm not guilty of that. And they present it from an outward sense. No, I haven't been with that woman. No, I haven't killed this person. No, I haven't done this and done that. As far as the letter of the law, they can line it all up and say, no, I haven't done this. I haven't done that. In most cases, that even becomes a lie when the point you get down to the facts of what all they really have done. And Lord, by the way, you know, the Lord's eyes are in every place. He beholds the good and the evil. He knows what we are. His eyes are even in our hearts and in our minds. So much so, Jesus taught this lesson. He says, inasmuch as you looked upon a woman and lusted after her in her own heart, you committed adultery with her already. He who hateth his brother is a murderer. That lays out not only the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. And what happened with the Apostle Paul is when he became circumcised in his heart, the commandment really became alive in him, and he was able to see, oh, this law that I think I've been pretty good in keeping all along, I've been guilty all along. And the scripture says sin revived means it came alive. He saw sin. Not that sin wasn't there, but he got to see it. It's kind of like those times in your life where you feel like you've been doing pretty good, and I've been a pretty good fella, and then the Lord will either use a minister or one of his faithful little children, or maybe reading the scripture, or maybe just going down the road, and he'll lay you out. He'll let you know, this is all you've done wrong. And then you're able to see. I'm able to see, oh, I thought I was okay, but I'm wrong. I'm off here. Be thankful for that's the case with you, because that shows that you're that circumcision. Your heart's been cut away. You've been touched in the heart. The man who's of the flesh cannot, will not see those things. He says, he goes on, which is in the law blameless. In other words, according to the law, he could argue his position that I've been without. And there were all those he was talking to who thought, boy, that makes you a good person. That makes you a righteous person. That makes you something. And Paul is saying, I'm saying to you, those things are nothing. And it's not because I don't have them. You know, it's one thing for me to tell you, that's nothing when I don't have it. I can just say, well, that's nothing because I don't have it. That's nothing. You know, men do that. That's the nature of man. Paul had everything they wanted. He was everything they wanted to be. They saw him at one time before he was struck down on the road to Damascus as being everything a man ought to be and should be and everything they desired to be. They wanted to be as good a man as Paul. And Paul is saying to them, listen, without the Lord Jesus Christ, every bit of that is just emptiness and of no benefit whatsoever. And I'll say to this, all the religious world and acts of the religious world and all that men are pointing to that are necessary to get a little child of God home to heaven is as empty and as all the law service. There is only one way to glory, and that is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not many ways. There's not many religions. There's only one religion, one true faith, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Aren't you glad of that? And that is in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not to add to that or to take from that. If I do, I become one of these dogs. Hear me? I become one of these evil workers. And if I'm a little child of grace and do that, I'll have timely judgment. And if I'm not a child of grace and I do that, which I will do because that's all I will know, and I will be trying to fleece God's little children, there will be an answering coming for that. And they have an eternal judgment that all those that are not God's children will endure. And that's the very hell that will be theirs, that would have been ours had Jesus not borne our hell in our room instead. Listen, for me to say all I have to do is do a little believing, and that makes me saved, that makes me his child, and I'm dependent upon that, is to disregard everything Jesus did. What did Jesus do that we could go to heaven? He didn't just believe. He went to the cross and paid the price. The blood was shed. The agony was felt. The suffering had to happen. He endured that cross that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And for me to say that didn't do it and I've got to do something to add to that cheapens what Jesus did. Can't you see that? It cheapens what Jesus did and it brings dishonor to the name of Jesus and what he's done. I don't want to dishonor the Lord by saying you've got to do something to add to the work of Jesus to get saved. I'd have to disregard God's word. I'd have to go and say, Jesus tried to do it, but he couldn't get it done. And men who say that either are deceived or they're deceivers. And they are like dogs. They'll make you sick. You beware of them. What I want to say to God's little children is that it's Jesus Christ and him alone. It's salvation by grace and grace alone. And yes, he works in our life through faith. And faith is a gift of God, and faith allows us to understand and know these things. But even our faith, even the work of that faith which is given in us, It is for our deliverance here in this world when we are able to see and know these wonderful things. Because we don't always walk in full faith, understand this, because we don't always have a complete knowledge and understanding, what if I begin to doubt a little bit? What if I begin to fall back in the flesh a little bit? Does that mean I cease to be His child? 1,000 times no. You're still His child. But I'll tell you what, you lose some joys and blessings when you're in that place. You begin to wonder, am I His or am I not? Do I belong to Him? Listen, there's many a little child of grace that said, do I belong to Him? Are they still His child when they say that? If they've ever been His child, they are forever His child. Is that not true? If they're in the elect, do they ever fall out of the elect? Do you slip in and out of the election? Absolutely not, because I didn't make the election. You didn't make the election. The Lord chose His people. And those that are His will continue to be His no matter what. And if their faith at times slips, doesn't mean the work of Almighty God fails. God's faithful. He remained faithful to His word. And those whom Jesus died for, that sin debt's been paid, including the sin of unbelief. Oh, that's a sin. I'm glad my unbelief that I've had and continue to have. Listen, even right now, as much as I'm believing right now, we still have that old flesh to contend with. You got it in the seat. And if you don't recognize that you have it, it's probably really got you. You need to see that you have it. Why? So that you can fight. Even, can you say it this way, even that part of you that acts like the dog at times that bites you and devours you, that I want to keep that old flesh under submission. Do you have a part of you that you don't like very much that just keeps rising up? When you need to do good, it tells you to do this, something else. And you've got to keep that old man, that old body under subjection. I know you do. And what I'm saying to you is because of what Jesus done, you have the power and the ability to keep that under subjection. But you can't do that on your own. It has to come from the Lord. Y'all getting this? Hope so. He says, for what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. In other words, all that I'd accumulated, everything I'd done religiously, his whole life really. He was brought up under the feet of Gamaliel, a student of the law. He had risen in the level of the Pharisees, and now he's about to have his whole life on the road to Damascus to completely turn upside down. And he who hated the church and persecuted the church was going to become an apostle to the church and a preacher and a servant to the church, and was going to the Jesus that he despised, he was now going to whom he persecuted. Lord, who art thou? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. He's now going to serve with all his life and all his heart, and everything that at one time he thought was the reason to live now just becomes dumb, which means I just cast it aside. Why? That I may serve the Lord. That I may win Christ. That doesn't mean he reached out and grabbed Christ. Listen, the Lord, it was clear, the Apostle Paul, when the Lord found the Apostle Paul, Paul wasn't looking for the Lord. Paul was on his way to persecute the church. Saul was. And the Lord found him, knocked him down, turned him around, and sent him all the way. Those who he was going to persecute, he went to be baptized. I'm telling you, can God change your life? And not only can He has. And though you and I don't have the experience of the Apostle Paul, you got your experience. I got Gary's experience. Brother Terry's got Terry's experience. Brother Junior's got Junior's experience. All of you have your own experience. And I'll tell you, has the Lord not been good to you? Can't you say today I got every reason to praise Him that He's allowed me? He turned me around. If it wasn't for Him, what a mess my life would be. He says, and be found in Him. He said that I may win Christ. And this is what He's saying: be found in Him. Right now, where I'm at, I want to be found in Him. I want to live like He's touched my life. I want to act like He's touched my life. I want to I want to be found where it looks like He's touched my life. I want to be talking the way He would like me to talk. I want to be thinking the way He would like me to think. I want to be walking more like He would like me to walk. I want to love like He's taught me to love. I want to have peace like He's given me peace. I don't want to be that same old fella that I was, that I used to be. I don't want to fall back into that old flesh. I'm prone to wander, and I'm bent for backsliding. But Lord, keep me close. Seal me, Lord. Take my life and let it be. May I live every day and breathe every day so that I might have another opportunity to praise Thee. Even when I'm going through the subway line, or even when I'm eating my food, or when I'm talking to my children, when I'm talking to my grandchildren, when I'm doing whatever I do in my life, Lord, may it all be about Thee and less of me and more of Thee. Less of me and more of Thee. Really, if it could ever get to be where it was all of Thee and none of me, that's when I really reached it. Now, I ain't there yet. The Apostle Paul said he wasn't there yet, but you know that day's coming. When we get to glory, it's going to be all of Him and none of us. And you know what the world says about that? I don't like that kind of heaven. Well, I want you to know that's the kind of heaven it's going to be. It's not going to be me and you talking about how good we did to get there. It's not going to be you and me talking about what wonderful people we were when we lived here in this world. It's going to be giving Him the glory and the honor and the praise. I'm not going to line up and get my stars and my crown, all my merit badges, all the rewards that some talk about. Listen, heaven's going to be a reward, but it'll be a reward you and I earned. It'll be a reward that He earned. What He earned will be given to us. By the way, what could you give? What could you give to heaven to make it better? Heaven's already the best that it is, and if you got something the best that it can be, somebody talking about it, somebody's going to get a reward. What reward could you have better than heaven already? Heaven is to see Jesus and to see His glorious face and to be with Him forever. What could be better to make that better? What could be added? And everything we have there is going to come as a reward to us, not because we earned it, but because Jesus earned it. Do you see, when He said, comfort ye my people, saith your God, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that a warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. What is the double? First of all, He didn't give us what we deserved. We deserved hell, and He spared us. His mercy spared us of hell. And we didn't earn any reward, but we're going to be given all of them. Which ones? The one our Savior earned and merited. He earned them. And you'll have everything He bought for you. Oh boy. Boy, that makes me want to be there. We're not there now, but we're going. And we're on the way. And we've got a lot of that to talk about, and we'll have to do that some other time. He says, and be found in Him. He says that I may be found in Him. Get this, not having mine own righteousness, which means you take all those boxes up there and they just count them but dung, because that's not what gets me there. Not in, and whether you put that list on the wall or you put all the works men say you have to do to get to heaven, and they have a whole list of them, don't they? Just listen to them. Those dogs are barking. All you have to do is listen to them. They'll tell you if you'll do this, or if you do that, or if you're walking this, or you're walking that, or if you'll keep this and keep that, then you'll get to heaven. But if you don't get all those boxes checked, then you're not going to... Doesn't matter if Jesus died, you're not going to make it. Jesus died for everybody in general, hoping somebody would get there by checking all their boxes. I'm telling you, those boxes won't get you anywhere. The only thing that gets God's little children home is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done for you. And it'll get every one of His children, which are an innumerable company out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people, a number that no man can number. They are God's children. If there had only been one, God would still be God and just. But He chose many. I'm glad He chose many. But if He hadn't chose but one, He would have still been God. If He'd have left me out, He would have still been God. If He'd have left you out, He'd have still been God. Somebody said, well, I don't know that I like that kind of God. Well, tough. That's the kind of God that He is, isn't it? He's that kind of God. By the way, the reason we wouldn't like that kind of God is because of the flesh and man's pride. and man feeling like he's due something that he's not. It's that sense of entitlement that has engulfed our nation right now, that men think they owe, everybody owes me something, and just because I'm breathing air. Listen, the air that we breathe is the gift God gave it to us. We didn't deserve it or earn it. And what we did with the gift of God is in Adam we all died. We, in a sense, spit in the face of God in the sense of all the blessing He had given us. We turn from that and act like we were our own creator. Well, man, the fool, he said in his heart, there is no God, and you and I would be that fool were it not for the grace of God. But to be found in Him, listen, if we can be found in Him, listen, if you and I are in Him, it is absolutely true today that if we're in Him, it's okay. No matter where you are, you could be on your deathbed. It's okay if you're in Him. Is it bad to die if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ? No, because when you die, you go home to be with Jesus. Is it really bad to be sick when you're in Jesus? Well, we don't want to be sick, but I'm telling you, you've got a great physician in Jesus who can take care of your sickness, and you have all that you need in Jesus. That if you don't get physically better, He gives you grace sufficient for the hour and for the moment. In Him, we have everything that we need. This is getting bigger and bigger. He says, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ is given to you and me. We're really going to need to wait for another time on that, because this is another hour right here. The faith that He has given us, the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ. How is it that you and I can walk righteous before Almighty God today? Can we do that? I say we can do that, but there's only one way we can do that. It's not by me and you taking our flesh and making it good. It's by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and looking to Him for our righteousness. And when we walk that way, trusting in the Lord for our righteousness, then we're washed and have the imputed righteousness of Christ, and we please God when we live here in this world. When? When we walk by faith. When you and I walk by faith, we don't mess up. It's when we walk by sight that we mess up. When you and I walk by faith, we please God. When we stop walking by faith, we stop pleasing God. And how is it that you and I can walk by faith? You have to be given the gift of faith, and then you have to have the power of the Holy Spirit allowing you to walk by that faith. You take the shield of faith, and that's a shield that we're to have. And fight, that's part of your armor that you wear into the battles of life. And that righteousness is not your righteousness, it's Christ's righteousness. And it's given to you. Somebody says you're no good, just say amen, I'm no good. But my Savior is altogether good. And my righteousness is not in me, it's in Him. And I'm not trusting in me, because I have no confidence in the flesh, but I am trusting in Him, who cannot fail. Isn't that good? He cannot fail. He will not fail. He cannot fail. And as always, we're going to stop, though we're not finished. We'll just stop. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.